And what a great joy it is to be able to be before you this evening. And we're excited about the message that God has that I believe he's laid in my heart for tonight. And as you know, it's just been a little bit different day with just the changes to the scheduling and different things that we've had. But what a blessing it was to have Brother Knickerbocker here with us this morning and then to have a missionary come through tonight. And like I said to you this morning, that it truly was. It's a kickstart to our missions month. And so we're thankful that the Lord has seen fit to grace us with that opportunity throughout the day, and we're thankful for you. Thanks for being in church tonight. It's shaping up to be a great evening already. I trust that you'll be able to get with someone afterwards and just be able to enjoy some time together with one another, fellowshipping one with another. But I just want to commend you for being in church on a Sunday night, and it's great to be here, obviously. But the truth is, as we hear songs like have been sung tonight, it's a reminder to me of all that God is doing, and all that God desires to do is not done, for sure. All that God has done in the past is certainly an encouragement to trust what God is going to do in the future. And all along the way, we can trust, as Brother Dan and Miss Carmen just saying, he'll hold us fast, and he's got us in the grip of his hand, and he'll never let us go, and he'll help us through it all. And what a joy and blessing it is. And all of you know that. You've come here, I believe, in most cases, most likely resting on that truth. And I think it's a joy to be able to just be reminded. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And I want to talk to you tonight. Obviously, you'll notice that obviously Brother Kyle's not here today as well. If you haven't seen him around, he wasn't feeling good either. And so we just are, he just stayed home really out of precaution just so he would be able to get back better and everything with regards to that as well. But I say that to say this, not certainly to alarm, but just to let you know, thank you for praying for those who went to camp this last week. We didn't say anything about it this morning, but they had a wonderful week at camp. God worked in a great way in the lives of our teenagers, and they had a great trip down there and back, and certainly are thankful for all the prayers that went into the week. And you might say, well, what's the, and I don't think most of you would question it, but what would be the significance of taking a week out of the schedule of a couple of our staff members and then out of the summer months of some of our teenagers and going down, and a pastor, obviously, I mentioned Brother Kurt Skelly on Wednesday night, taking time out of his church schedule to go and preach at a camp for the course of a week. And why would all of these changes happen? And I think that tonight's message is really why that would happen. And that is because there's a generation that's coming up that needs to be influenced with the gospel, with the truth of God's word, and needs to be influenced by you and by me. And that's what we want to look at tonight as we look into God's word this evening. And so Psalm 127, we'll read the whole psalm this evening. The Bible says that this is a song of degrees for Solomon. It would have been something that they would have quoted, that they would have recited as they made the progression up into the temple as they went to worship God. And it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, so he giveth his beloved sleep." That's a verse that many college students want to quote in their lives. It's vain to rise up early and sit up late, and yet many times it's the way that it is. It says in verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I believe that one of the greatest overlooked neglects or area of neglect in our day is the neglect of the heritage of children that God has blessed all of us with. You might say, "Daniel, I don't have children," or "my children are grown and gone." This is not really a message that is just designed for those who are parents with children in the home tonight, because the fact is, as the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, God has vested all of us that are involved in this church, this entity, this organism and organization with the responsibility to be the guardians of God's heritage. Amen. And we want to be a church that is raising up people to serve God with their lives in whatever capacity he would lead them down. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight, but before we move on with the message, let's pray and ask God just to bless. We've already prayed, but we want to bless the message so that we could possess these truths and go forward with them in our lives as God would desire. Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given to us and all that we've already been able to experience and the music portion of the service and the preliminary parts of all that went on. And then this morning, Lord, as you worked amongst us, it was great to have Brother Knickerbocker here. And Lord, we're thankful for him and Brother Olipas here tonight. I pray you'd bless the missionaries that have come here today and those who will come here soon and those that we support that we don't get many opportunities to see. But we're so thankful that one day we'll see the fruit of that investment in missions that we've been led to do. But Lord, we pray tonight that you'd bless this time that we look into your word and that you would help us to accept the responsibility that you've given to us to guard your heritage. Children belong to you. They're not ours. This world is filled with them and they need people who would truly seek to invest in them. I pray you'd bless this service, this message. Help me, Lord, I pray, and help us all to obey you as you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Excite was an organization that was really one of the most well-known online portals back in the 90s. And in 1999, Excite, this online portal, had the opportunity to purchase Google for $1 million. They weren't really all that excited about the deal, and so those who were in charge of Google at that point offered to drop the price to $750,000, but still, Excite passed on the deal. And now, obviously, we know today the great lapse of judgment that they had, as Google is now worth billions of dollars, and none of us probably, even if you knew it then, you certainly don't remember it now, what in the world Excite even is or was. Microsoft offered to purchase Yahoo in 2008. Those were the high days of Yahoo when they were managing news services and their own obviously email accounts and all many different aspects that they had of their organization. And Microsoft offered to purchase the organization for $45 billion. Yahoo turned them down, thinking that they were doing fine in their own management. But within 8 years, Yahoo was sold for a mere $4.8 billion. I'd call that a missed opportunity. Kodak revolutionized the camera industry, but not long after along the way in the business model that they had in 1975, a man named Steve Sasson, one of their engineers, designed the first digital camera. And his managers told him that it was a cute idea, but he just needed to table it, forget that he'd ever done it, and focus on the bread and butter of the organization that Kodak had running. Fast forward to 2007, Kodak finally decided to launch their own digital camera and get in to that business, but they failed and filed bankruptcy in 2012 and focused just on developing or producing film and things, but certainly a shadow of its former self. In 2000, Reed Hastings offered to his new startup company, Netflix, to Best Buy for $50 million. And the CEO of Best Buy, he wasn't excited about it. He called the Netflix streaming service a very small niche business. And they passed on the deal. And obviously, streaming services are now primarily one of the major ways that anybody watches anything. And Netflix today is worth over $140 billion. And Blockbuster went out of business in 2013. Western Union ruled the telegram market in the late 1800s. In 1876, Alexander Graham Bell, who'd recently invented the telephone, offered the patents to Western Union for $100,000. The Western Union decided to pass on it. They said the public would never go for the telephone. They would always prefer the telegram, and so they passed on it, and they quickly realized their mistake. They hired Thomas Edison to try to reinvent the telephone, and after a series of lawsuits, Western Union was forced out of the telephone industry, and the offshoot companies of Alexander Graham Bell still existing today. Some of them, AT&T and Verizon, would have been offshoots of that and drive the obviously the telephone and telecom market still today, over 100 years later. Motorola was one of the biggest phone manufacturers in the mid-2000s, but they lacked the drive, to enter into the smartphone market, and they decided not to make one and didn't produce one until 2012, and yet their share value plunged from $72 a share in 2006 to $12 a share in 2009. They lost over $4 billion between 2007 and 2009 because they would not move with the times and make their own smartphone. Ronald Wayne was brought in as an adult supervisor in an upstart company called Apple by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. They brought him in because they were so young and they thought they'd probably be helpful to have somebody with some a little bit more maturity. And yet, after a little bit, he was likely the one that drafted their first logo and one of their first formal agreements. And yet, he realized that the responsibility financially for the company would fall on him because Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak were broke. And so he decided to get out of the company and sold his 10% in the company to the other co-founders for $800. And so 10% of Apple today would be worth over $100 billion. Ross Perot ran a massive electronic data system in the 1970s when he first came across Microsoft. He was deciding at that point in his life to invest in a lot of small upstart IT companies, and yet when he was introduced to the idea of Microsoft, he decided to pass on Microsoft because he didn't want to meet the 40 to 60 million valuation, and so he passed on the deal. And yet Microsoft obviously has become the giant that it is, and its founder, Bill Gates, becoming one of the world's wealthiest men. Missed investments. There's a lot of them. But for all of the financial investments that just really help us to see the picture that have happened throughout all of societies, really all throughout history, there have been innumerable more missed investments when it comes to the children that God has placed in this world and around you and me. As a church family and as families yourselves, whether, as I said, your kids are in the home or not at this point, we have the opportunity to realize and to influence we have of the kids that are all around us. And we as a church need to realize that the fact is that there are over 24 million children in America that live without a father in the home. 40% of all babies that are born in the United States in 2011 were born to unmarried mothers. And as many children are being cared for by grandparents today as are being cared by single dads in our country today. There is a massive amount of neglect and missed opportunity and unfortunate circumstances that are influencing the next generation that is all around us today. And as a church family, it is my desire, I know it's pastor's desire, Brother Kyle, Brother Dan, and so many of you that labor on a weekly basis in Sunday school classes, on bus routes, and in nurseries, and other forms or fashions all throughout the week, you are thinking, I know, on a regular basis about the spiritual needs of these kids. And yet tonight, I thought it'd just be important for us just to come back and realize that if we are going to make a difference, we're going to have to bring ourselves back again and again just to some spiritual and scriptural principles that can help us so that we can invest properly in the heritage of children that are all around us. And I hope by the end of this message, over the next few minutes that we have, that all of us would just be reminded that there's a great opportunity all around us. Sometimes people think, I don't know what I could do with my life. Do you know a kid? There's your opportunity right there. Do you know anybody's children? Do you have your own? Do you have grandchildren? That right there is the greatest opportunity that you could ever get involved in this world, to invest in a child. Someone who will last for eternity. Someone who will influence others with their life. I cannot help but think that in my life, it's been many times since God has blessed our home with children, that every once in a while, God just brings me back and to this thought that one of the greatest things I am likely to ever do is raise my kids. Amen. But I don't know what my life is going to produce, and you don't know what your life is going to produce, but if God gives you the opportunity, would you influence a child in the direction that God would want you to? I think you all would. But how can we do that? Let's look at Psalm 127 today and just see what it is that God says in this psalm so that we can be diligent guardians. First of all, we want to realize from this passage of Scripture is that children are a gift, or the gift of a child. You know, there's a lot of things in our culture today that would undermine the statement. Some of the statements I've already made today, that children are a gift, that they're a blessing, that they're something to be stewarded and to be loved. As a matter of fact, a lot of times in our society today, when a person gets pregnant earlier than they would have expected to, a lot of times they'll just turn and either have an abortion or maybe give that child to somebody else within the family. And ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned, I know it's been a little bit more in our minds, but I've read news articles and I've seen some different statements by different even celebrities. I remember reading one statement from a celebrity where she had an abortion early on in her career, and it saved her career. It ended their life. See, our society has begun to become upended when it comes to this very basic fact. Children are a gift. The passage says, once again, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I want you to notice just two parts about that verse just for just a moment. First of all, children are the possession of God. They belong to Him. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We need to remember something tonight. Your children and my children, they're not your children, they're not mine. They're God's. And that's not just true of mine and yours, it's true of every child that is out there. And before we make a rash decision about the way that, and I know you probably would not, but the way that a child should be treated, we need to remember whose it is. Because if you are a steward of something else, if you drive a company car, or you have been given an office in the building in which that you work on a regular basis, you realize, you may say, that's my office, that's my car, that's my whatever the case may be. But it's not actually yours. And if you were to go in and just to say, hey, I want to take this wall out, I want to do that, and your organization, you'd probably have to answer for that once demolition started, because it's not yours. It's not your possession. You know, we are reminded from God's Word tonight that a child, first and foremost, belongs to God. And everything that's done in the life of a child should be done with God's mind in view. And I think that as we look at this passage, it should really just help us reprogram ourselves so that we can see this clearly. And you know, God dreams for His kids just like you dream for yours. God has things that He desires to see accomplished in the life of every one of His children. And lest you forget, that includes you too. You see, we're all God's children, of which we can be very thankful. But we've seen all throughout Scripture, and many times we've been reminded, passages like Jeremiah 1:8, or 1:5, the Bible says of Jeremiah, God was speaking, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Before Jeremiah was in his mother's arms, he was in God's hands. And God had a plan for that life that was precious to Him. Because Jeremiah did not belong to his parents. He belonged to God. They are God's heritage. They are God's. And we must remind ourselves, we must come back to this fact that every child belongs first and foremost to God. But they're not just God's possession. They are God's gift to us. The fruit of the womb is His reward. You know, children are a blessing, aren't they? If we get to be around a kid, we could all tell stories, and I'm not even going to delve into them tonight, but we could all tell stories about times that we were around a child that they just said something that was just so cute, that was so sweet, was so precious, it was so heartfelt, that it really changed your perspective as you went through life. And there's just so much about kids that are a blessing. They change you, don't they? When you serve around kids, whether they're yours or someone else's, and you minister to kids, I'm so thankful for our bus workers. I'm thankful for the time that God has allowed me right now to even to be on a bus on a weekly basis and get to know kids and to see just the different things they do, the way they interact. And as we picked up some kids this morning, one of the little boys, his mom was standing outside with him when the bus came down the hill, and they all started to make their way to the bus, and one of them made it about halfway, and he turned around, ran back to his mom, and gave her a really big hug, and then he got on the bus. So I got to see that. They're a gift. Something that God gives to you, whether in your home or not. Every child that walks in front of you is a gift that God has given for you to have some means of influence, some opportunity to see, some way of rubbing shoulders with them. It doesn't really matter in the end, but if we would walk around, and you see these little sweaty-headed kids after church, you know, they run around and they play and they do all kinds of crazy stuff, and I'd say every once in a while, somebody's kid, maybe you're looking at one of them right now, somebody's kid has cut in front of you or done something that you're like, man, they're talking too loud or whatever the case may be. If we would remember in every moment, one, they belong to God. Two, they're a gift that God has given. Amen. It changed the way we interact with them. You see these parents who lug their kids through grocery stores, and it just seems like they're nothing but a burden to them. The way they talk, the tone of their voice, the interactions that they have. Children, in God's eyes, are never anything but the two things that this verse has given to us. Now, they might be work, they might have a lot of things associated with them, but the fact remains, God loves children. Amen. And God knows how much of a difference can be made in an entire life if a child is treated the way that God intends when they're young. You know, you can treat an adult like they should have been treated as a kid, and it may never change the way they view the world. But if we'd started 20 or 30 or 40 years sooner, how much different that life could have been. Children are a gift that God gives. So we see the gift of a child, first of all. Second thing I want you to notice in this passage is the guardianship of a child. And I want you to point you really back to verse number 1. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." You know, there's a lot of things going on in our world today that are really beyond our ability to shield our children from. Didn't you notice that our society's changing lately? That there's things that are happening that are so mind-blurring and so rapid-paced. You can't turn on a TV. You can't watch a TV show that's really not probably having some form or fashion of a thought that you really wouldn't want a child to get a hold of the way or the ideology that is being portrayed in that particular thing, whether it's a kid show or a commercial or something that you just hear out and about. But all of those things are happening, so much so that truly, I want to tell you this, it's too much for us to do. That's what that verse tells us. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I want to remind you underneath this point tonight, if we're going to influence people, if we're going to guard God's heritage, you know who we really need? God. Parents in this room tonight, myself included, the job of parenting, we know, is overwhelming. If you've still got kids in the home, and you know if you had kids in the home, it was overwhelming then. But the fact of the matter is this, it is actually way beyond you and me to do the job that is needing to be done in the life of a child. But God will help you, will help me, and if your kids are grown and gone, he will help you to do what you can to influence a child. You might say, well, what difference could be made? I don't really know, but give your life to God's hand to intersect with the lives of children and just let God take care of some of those things. You place yourself there. God will use you. And one of the most important things that we truly see by way of giving some practical advice underneath this, that God does use to protect the lives and hearts of children as they're growing, is first of all, God gives protection through marriage. So what do you mean? You know, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to a child is to have a healthy marriage. Children need examples. Children need people who are living self-sacrificing lives for one another. People need to see what God intended to be the normal way of life so that they can have an example that is set before them. Many neglected marriages have led to the destruction of a child's life. And so you say, well, Brother Daniel, what can I do? Well, love your wife. Love your husband. Stand up for what marriage actually is. And that doesn't just mean find some public forum to denounce some form or alternative lifestyle that's out there today. I just mean stand up for what's right by being the right type of spouse for your husband or for your wife, by influencing others. We have ways that you can be involved in things like this. Even at our church, we've had these meet and greets over the last little while, and a lot of the last couple ones have been, couples that have come with their families and different things. We have couples retreats that we put on through our church. We have ladies retreats to edify the spiritual walk of our ladies. We try to do some things for men throughout the course of the year as well. And all of those things are designed so that we can fulfill our role in the situation that God has created us in. And if we do that, God can use our marriage, our lives, to shield a child from something that could totally destroy them. But not only does he use marriage in that sense, he also uses the home in all of its ultimate senses. You know, God has given the principles of his word to you and to me so that we can follow them and we can build up homes. You know, strong homes lead to strong churches. But strong homes lead to a strong child as they grow up. And there's some aspects of your home that you need to make sure are there. And this is what God tells us. You need to have God's word in your home. It's the foundation of everything that a child needs. And if we are not in our homes practicing biblical principles, where in the world will children get the things that they need? If Christians do not live their lives biblically, how will children grow up biblically? It's the foundation. We've got to make sure that we have the Bible in its central place in our lives. And God tells us to pass it on. And so in the home or out of the home, in Sunday school or on your bus, the whole goal in many of that capacity, obviously, is get them the gospel, but ultimately is to make sure that they can get the word of God into them. We must also practice within our home loving acceptance. You know that acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. If I came up to you or you came up to me and all I had was criticism of you or all you had was criticism of me, we probably would not make it very far in that dialogue or that conversation. It's not all that helpful to be down on someone all the time. You know who needs to grow a lot? A child. They don't know what you know. But if you and I are constantly looking at children like, man, children nowadays, they just don't know how to be respectful. Children nowadays, they just don't know, they don't know how to treat their parents. They don't know how to act out in public. And it's always negative. You know, no child is going to want to come to you for advice, nor me. But if you can come to a kid with loving acceptance in your heart, in your home, it is going to make a significant difference to the way that they respond to the instruction that's given. But not only that, we need to make sure we're taking time with them. Do you know how children spell love? You say, well, L-O-V-E, probably. Actually, I don't really think so. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. It's been studied and said that most children spend about 36 minutes a week with their parents. And that includes watching the TV. You ever wonder why our kids in our society today are not ending up the way that maybe they should? Probably just because we're not spending time with them. I thought it was cool as I was walking to pick one of our kids up on the bus this morning, but from the start of the sidewalk all the way to the door that I was walking in, which was like, I don't even know, probably 60 feet, every bit of the sidewalk was covered in chalk, drawings and hopscotch things and all these different pictures and numbers counting from 1 up to 30. I mean, I was thinking as I was walking along, man, that'd take a lot of time. Now, I'm not saying that that was necessarily bad. The parents could have been part of that entire thing. The handwriting was pretty nice. But if it wasn't, it was just a way to get a kid out of their hair. That's a problem. Not always. But children need our time. That's why we have the opportunities that we have so we can influence kids. We need to make sure we're spending time with them. We need to make sure we're admonishing them in the truth. We need to make sure we're actually taking time to teach them. You know, there's a lot of parents today that they'll might spend time with them, but they're too afraid to confront them. And we've got to make sure that we are investing the truth in them and that we are modeling biblical authority in their lives. I'm just kind of giving you a few things that we can cover as we look at. All of these are scriptural principles that we need to follow to admonish, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to model for them and to enforce the principles of respect and obedience of authority before kids as well. All of those things are things that you and I can do as we seek to guard the heritage that God has given to us of children. And as you try to think about some of these things, you try to consider some things that God could use you to do, I want to challenge you, make sure you are living in a biblical manner that will produce an atmosphere where if a child was around you, they would be helped. You don't always get the chance to tell them the truth that you'd like them to learn. But if you just live it before them, the example can make all the difference. And the final thing I want you to notice in this passage is the guidance of a child. We've seen the gift, the guardianship, truly, ultimately, is by God. It is God who guards a child when you live your life biblically. It's God who does the building when you determine to follow His principles. But ultimately, at the end, we're given this illustration so that we can see it. And that is this, that we must guide a child. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, children require two things that it tells us in that verse right there. First of all, they require shaping. And we're just kind of coming down to the end of this moment that we have together this evening. You know, an arrow back in those days certainly would have been something that would have been on the cutting edge of military advancement. Bows and arrows, obviously, today would be, if you went, showed up with a bow and arrow at a battle today, you'd probably lose, right? But in that day, it was the cutting edge. And contrary to popular sometimes culture in the way that they're fashioned, a lot of times the archers in ancient society were the strongest warriors. They were some of the most advanced in their mentality of strategy, and they would have oftentimes been responsible for the crafting of their own arrows, the making of their own bow, and they would have had taken great care to make sure when they made the arrow, it was right. It was straight. The arrowhead was sharp because a blunt arrowhead or one that falls off in flight or where the fletching comes off as the arrow is flying and causes it to get off course. All of those things, if not done carefully, will make an arrow absolutely ineffective. An arrow, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, an arrow requires shaping. Kids require shaping. They need us to take what God has given to us and pour it into them. They can bounce off that boundary so they know, hey, when dad says no, when teacher says no, when pastor says no, that means no. They need to have those boundaries set. But when it's something else, it's some instruction that's being given, they need to be able to hear it and respond to it and understand it. They need teachers who know the Word of God who are going to pour that into them. They need places that they can learn, and they need to go to places like camp. And when we have things like junior day camp or Vacation Bible School, they need all of those things. Why? So they can be shaped in the way that God wants them to be shaped. Parents, make sure your kids are here when things are going on. Make sure they're getting the things that they need. It's your responsibility. And then they need direction. You know, an arrow in the quiver is just that. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to do anybody any good. Every arrow had a purpose, and that was to go flying through the air at a target. As kids are growing up, if you influence kids in Sunday school or on a bus or in any other format in your home or in your extended family, I want to challenge you to challenge them to consider what God made them for. You know, one of the easiest questions to ask a kid as they're growing up is, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, and we all like to hear the answers. You know, they want to, when we're really young, we want to be a certain thing. We want to be firemen. We want to be policemen. We want to be soldiers. We want to be in the army. We want to do things like that. I want to be a chef. You know, you hear all the answers as kids grow up, and it's great to see what's interesting right then and to see some of those things. But, you know, a much better question is, what does God want you to be when you grow up? You know, it's really the same question. There should be, in many senses. It's just a little bit more directed. You don't know how much of a difference it would make if everybody in this room, you know, take every child who's 5 years old and under in our church, or maybe 7 years old and under, and then if they grew up here and God never moved their family away, and they spent from now until the time that they were graduating from high school, and everybody in this room just right now, at least at some point in their life, asked that child, what does God want you to do when you grow up? I don't know how many people are here tonight, 150 or so, or 200 or something. I don't know how many it is. But if 200 people asked one kid, what does God want you to do when you grow up? I have a feeling that would make an impression on the way that child views their future. You want to guard God's heritage? We need to make sure we remind ourselves, children are a gift. They belong to God, but they're a gift that we get to be around and influence. Children need to be guarded, and the primary guardianship ultimately comes from God, but is completely involved with the Word of God. But children in the end need to be guided in the direction that they need to go. And that's a responsibility that you and I have in our lives. And I hope that we can take these thoughts and we can apply them to the way we approach life, into the relationships that God allows you to have, or maybe that God wants you to have. If there's some form or fashion of way in which God would have you to serve, or to pray for Brother Kyle, as he on a regular basis leads our teen program and provides oversight for children's ministries. And obviously we've been doing much of the renovations and things upstairs so that we can have an up-to-date place for our kids to come and comfortable for them. And it's exciting what we can see up there that's already happened and what's going to happen with regards to that, and help us get staged and set so that as these new families come in, we can do what God wants us to do. And it's been exciting. I hope you look around as you see tonight, and then maybe if you looked around this morning, how many young families have been at church lately with kids who need you and I to take very seriously our responsibility to be guardians of God's heritage. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. We'll pray, and then we'll have a brief time of invitation, a unique message for us all. But I want to say before I even go on that ultimately what every child needs is the gospel. And I would be remiss as a preacher of the Word of God if I did not just say this tonight. If you have never responded to the gospel and you know what it is, I'd encourage you to come forward tonight. But if you don't know what it is, and I think everybody here tonight, but if you don't know, or you've had some doubts as to your response, but you don't know the gospel, it is that Jesus died for your sins so you wouldn't have to, so you could spend eternity with God in heaven. That's the simple statement of it. And you can come and find more out about that here in a moment. But you know, that's what every child needs as well. And so tonight in our invitation time, I'll pray in just a moment and we'll start the invitation. I'm going to invite you, where you're at or if you want to come forward, to pray that God would help our church, help your family, to be guardians of the heritage of God, to be involved in the nurturing and admonition that a child needs so they can be all that God intends for them to be. Let's pray, and once I say amen, we'll stand to our feet, the music will begin to play, and if you'd like to come and pray, or you'd like to pray where you're at, about a ministry, about a family need, about whatever it might be, you come and do that. If you need to respond to the gospel, or you have some questions about that, whether you're a child or you're not here in this room tonight, and you just need to get some things settled, then you come and we'll meet you and we'll take care of that as well. But let's pray and ask God to use our church as guardians of God's heritage. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be together. Thank you for this message. Lord, I pray you'd bless these thoughts to the furtherance of your will through our lives. Lord, use us, we pray. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for a great week at camp for our teens last week. We look forward to hearing more about it as we get to spend time with those who went. And Lord, we just pray for your blessings on all that happened there, that it would further out into the lives of the teens that which you desire. But bless this invitation time, we pray, as we gather, as we focus for just a few moments on what you'd have us to do with these truths. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand our feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the music plays. If you'd like to come or you'd like to pray where you are, every child needs us. Pray that God would use us to make a difference in lives. And He will. He will. Another way to pray would be to think about this. This has been a summer of weddings at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If you haven't been aware of that, there was a shower for a wedding that's coming up here in a couple months. Yesterday, I meant to mention Elizabeth Farmer was here this morning with her fiance, and they're going to get married here in a few months, and several others that are here tonight. We got to welcome Michelle this morning, and Heath. They're going to get married in a few weeks, and Hannah and Preston in a couple months as well, and then several that have already passed. And you say, well, Brother Daniel, what's that all about? Why would you say that right now? Did you pray for those homes? New homes. We've got a couple that got engaged yesterday. Pray that God would help these new families that are beginning to live a life of faithfulness and fruitfulness, and that God would bless their role as they live as young families in this world and eventually raise families with kids. There's just so many ways that you can be involved in what God wants to do. And I hope you'll get involved, as I know you already are, but stay involved. Stay on the firing line. Appropriate the truths of God's word. Live them out in your life. Be an example that God can use. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for listening so well. We are just about done for the evening, but we do have just one final thing that we need to take care of for the evening, and we're glad to have the leadership that we do at our church that have helped. Even though Pastor's been out, he's been working on some different things, and so we are excited for those who've come alongside him to help. And so Brother Bobby's going to come, and he's got just something he wants to share in Pastor's stead with us. I think a video that we're going to watch, and maybe a couple more things. And once he's done, Brother Bobby, you can close us, and you can dismiss us when everything's done. Okay.
Brother Daniel, thank you so much for that message. You're really investing families, kids. It's what we do. So every week we have dozens and dozens of people who hear from Pastor Herdman via live stream. Well, tonight we're going to hear from Pastor Herdman from his home. He's doing well. He has been sick for a few days, but he's doing well. So right now, we're going to hear a quick video introducing some things about Ministry House across the street, and then I will come back with about 30 seconds to a minute of comments, and then we'll be dismissed. So we're ready for the video.
Well, hello, church. I certainly hated not being there at church in person today. I watched the morning service online. I'll be viewing this evening service online, just like many of you have had to do. But I'm feeling much, much better. Thank you for your prayers, and trust to be back at it very, very soon. And I want to thank the Lord for all of the work that goes into our live stream. I'm reminded again, of course, I usually don't watch it, but reminded again of how good it is and how much work our audiovisual team does, the live stream team, and I just want to thank each and every one of those ladies and gentlemen that do all of that. But I also want to tell you that I just had a great meeting virtually with the deacons, and we're looking forward to a lot of great things, speaking specifically about the Ministry House right next door to us there at the corner of Delta and Suncrest. And I'm excited about what God's going to allow us to use that property for. And so we met this evening virtually, and I'm going to be coming to you this Wednesday, Lord willing, with some plans that we're looking at, some prices. We have a business meeting about that next step to go on. I believe God's going to allow us to use that house for His glory and to help a lot of missionaries. And so I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday night. We'll have a great time. I'm praying for the service there, and we're trusting God to do great things right in our hearts there at Buffalo Ridge. God bless you.
Tonight, and as you well know, I think most everybody here knows, we purchased a house across the street. Get my bearings here. But we purchased the house across the street as a ministry house for a dual purpose. Number one, we want to be a blessing to missionaries from all over the world who come through, who are either on deputation, furlough, who need a place to stay. We could help them with that and be a blessing to them with that. In addition to that, it has a dual purpose of church activities, children's activities. If we can use it in any way, we're going to use it. And we're going to do it to invest. Thank you, Daniel. He did not know this was coming tonight. But invest in our community. Stop and think of Great Tennessee. We literally have hundreds of doors under construction. When I say doors, I mean apartments, single-family residences. They are being built or planned to be built in the very near future. We have an opportunity. And this is part of us planning to reach those folks with the gospel. So pray for that, and that will come up on Wednesday evening. More information will come, and then we'll vote on Wednesday. As we close tonight, let's be sure and pray for Dr. Stevens. He does have COVID, and so pray for him and his wife, and if you have his phone number or something, send him a text, word of encouragement. He'd appreciate it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that we have all encountered today from you. I thank you for the good message from Daniel tonight as we look to invest in the future generations, Lord. And we do that for your glory and to bring people to the knowledge of you. We thank you and praise you, and we ask that you will be with us this week. In your name we ask it. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.